And welcome to our Friday edition of Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Chris McPherson here in the Xfinity studio along with Bo Wolf, and we're going to preview Sunday's showdown between the Eagles and the New York Jets. And when you look at that intro for Eagles Live, there are four key offensive players that are featured prominently in that: Michael Vick, DeSean Jackson, LeSean McCoy, and Jerry Maclin. And the Eagles will certainly need these four playmakers to step up against what is notoriously known as a very good Jets defense.
Yeah, maybe sprinkle a little Brent Celek in there as well. But this is a very tough matchup against the Jets defense. Sixth in the league in total defense, and that's a disappointment for the Jets. They've been first and third in Rex Ryan's time there. But a lot of deception that the Jets are going to throw at you, so it's going to be important for the Eagles to stay, as Juan Castillo likes to say, fundamentally sound. Brent Celek has talked about blocking the space and not blocking the man. So it's going to be a tough test for this Eagles offense. Another 3-4 team like last week, and all the rest of the games on the schedule for the Eagles are 3-4 teams. So it's going to be a tough test, and it's going to be up to Michael Vick to really read what the defense is giving him pre-snap and then post-snap. What, as you know, pre-snap, post-snap, a little film room, Adam Kaplan, Greg Cosell for you. But they got to realize, Mike, it's up to Michael Vick to decipher what the defense is showing him and find the open man, and then if not, do something with his legs.
So speaking of film room, we are going to have film room a little bit later on in the show. Adam Kaplan and Greg Cosell do a great job of breaking down both the Jets defense and the offense in this week's film room series. We have some great guests for the show today. Tommy Lawler, our Fandemonium columnist and the lead writer for EaglesBlitz.com. He's going to stop by to talk a little bit about the Eagles and what he has seen in recent weeks from this football team. We're going to have Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com to get you ready for your next round of fantasy playoffs. And we also have Bob Wischusen, the voice of the New York Jets. He'll take us behind enemy lines and talk about what has sparked the Jets on their recent three-game win streak. They lost to the Denver Broncos 4 games ago. They've won all 3 games since, and they are in the driver's seat for the AFC playoffs with an 8-5 record. They right now would, believe it or not, be the number 6 seed, where the Eagles come into this game at 5-8, but still have hope for a spot in the playoffs. But we're all Eagles fans will be keeping an eye on the two other big NFC East games this weekend, starting with the Cowboys and the Bucks on Saturday, and then on Sunday at 1 o'clock before the Eagles 4:15 kickoff, the Giants take on the Redskins. And the unfortunate scenario would be is if both the Cowboys and the Giants win going into that game, the Eagles would not be able to win the NFC East. However, no matter what, the Eagles will still have something to play for come 4:15 on Sunday, because they would still be mathematically alive. While it would be a long shot, they still would have a chance at a wild card berth.
Yeah, it's bizarre to think that at 5-8, you'd still have a chance at a wild card spot, but it's true. The we were looking at what the Lions do, and they play at 4 o'clock. So that's the scenario there. But you know, I'm obviously going to be watching that Cowboys-Bucks game on Saturday night. It's a Saturday night game. You know, crazy things can happen. This Bucks team, you know, a good team last year, disappointing year this year. But, you know, the Cowboys have not really showed that they, you know, I think they're like 7-point favorites on the road. They haven't really showed that they're that kind of team. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Bucks show up on Saturday night and you know, take advantage of a Cowboys team. And then Giants-Redskins, the Redskins already beat the Giants this year, so you know, anything can happen. I'll settle for one of those teams losing.
That's all you
then
need.
We get, then we still have a chance. And then, you know, go to Dallas on Christmas Eve and then take them out. Anything can happen.
You just need one of them to lose. If you have one of them lose, the Eagles are still very much alive in the race for the NFC East. But, of course, they're going to have to handle their business, being a Jets team that's played very, very good of late. They've won 6 of their last 8. As we said, they are firmly in position to make the playoffs if they win out. So they have a lot to play for.
But Jets 0-8. All time against the Eagles, never beaten the Eagles. Eagles undefeated against the Jets, so hopefully that streak continues.
Now, I have not been able to research this. There's a Twitter account that's called Eagle Stats. It surfaced in the last couple of days. They keep tweeting at Eagles Insider.
Are you talking about fake Rube CSN?
No. Better than fake Rube CSN. Fake Rube CSN is brilliant, by the way. We think it's one of the other beat reporters who's doing that account, but there's one called Eagle Stats, and it came up with this one, that Andy Reid has only lost once in his career in Week 15.
Really?
Don't know what to make out of it.
Nice.
If it's just coincidence or not, but you're looking for all the positive momentum you can go into this game, I will certainly take it.
Well, yeah, we knew that coming into the Final Four games this year, Andy was 32-16 in the final four games of the season in his career. So, you know, the Eagles do always play well down the stretch under Andy Reid. Let's go to phone lines now. We've got Philip from Arizona. Philip, what's going on, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Great. Thanks
You're
for calling
us off.
I think that the Jets, we're, the only thing the Eagles have to really worry about is their Jets defense. They're a really great defense. They've always been a great defense with Rex Bryan under the coaching staff. And we got to worry about the corners a lot, too, with Revis and Cromartie. I think that if Dallas and the Giants do lose out, we do have a shot of winning the division. We just got to go play our hearts out. I don't know what's been the deal this whole season. I expect the big things, but the defense is falling apart. Everybody's blaming Castillo, and everybody's putting Reed on the market saying he needs to get fired. I do think I'm still have faith in Andy Reid, but I think Castillo does need to go. We have so much talent on our defense, and we're not consistent enough to pull games out in the fourth quarter. And we just need to win ball games the rest of the season.
Well, what if the Eagles' defense that showed up last week against Miami shows up for these final three games of the season?
Then I see us winning out. We just have to worry about the Giants and the Cowboys. We're a good defense. We proved it last week. We held them in the fourth quarter. That's where we collapsed. Vic played well. Deshaun finally showed up a little bit. McCoy had about close to 30 carries, but he had about 40 yards rushing close to it, and he had two touchdowns. But point is, we just need to win these ball games and show up and say, hey, we're still in this run. We just
got to
win.
So, Phil, you're not there. There are fans, and I don't know if it's minority, majority, what have you, but there's a segment of the fan population that wants the Eagles to lose out, that doesn't think there's any hope.
That is not the majority. That is the
it's a vocal minority then. Okay, yeah. It's what you
hear. You are not a real fan if that is what you're hoping for.
But I'm just saying that there are fans that want to see a team lose out, and they're all thinking draft pick and looking at the future. They're taking that.
No, I'm not thinking that at all. I still think we have a shot at winning the division. I always have faith in Philly. I don't understand these fans on Facebook and Twitter and ESPN saying, oh, the Eagles need to lose out. They suck. They're not good enough. Dream team, whatever. I was kind of a little biased with Vince Young saying dream team, but I still think we're a great team. We can win out possibly. We just got to worry about the Jets are doing really well this season so far. They've been hot the last few weeks. I think if we just play like we do normally, we can win ball games. It's just, I don't know what the problem is this season with the collapses in the fourth quarter. I'm always going to stick with Philadelphia. I don't know these other fans that are jumping the bandwagon. We got Asamoah and Cromartie and all these other guys. It's dumb.
Philip, you have a prediction for the game?
I say 27-20 Eagles win.
All right.
So, Philip, great call. Thank you very much for checking in here. Let's talk about Jets defense, and Philip mentioned the cornerbacks, Darrell Revis, Antonio Cromartie. Who do you think, in your estimation, will line up against whom in this matchup?
My guess, and this is just a guess, is that Revis will try to take on Jeremy Maclin and just take him out of the game, as Revis is wont to do. And then you put Cromartie on Deshaun. Cromartie's got the speed to match up with Deshaun, and then you sort of let the safety worry about over the top on Cromartie, and then just leave Revis on Revis Island with Mac. And I think that's the way that they'll do it. But you know, I wouldn't be shocked to see Revis on Deshaun.
No, we had Manish Mehta, the beat writer reporter for the New York Daily News, on Eagles Nightly earlier this week, and that's what he intimated, that Cromartie typically takes the speedier receiver, and that the more all around receiver, the more possession threat, which is Maclin in this offense, that's the guy that Revis will take. Now, of course, Revis did take out Wes Welker in the New England game, but different dynamic there. He's the one guy that you try to stop in that offense, and I think other teams have tried to do that since. When you look at this Eagles offense, if they can take Maclin out, because he's been the guy that you've been missing the last couple weeks. He played intermittently last week against Miami, didn't play at all in the second half. I mean, he is a guy that you need to help this offense reach its full potential. Obviously, the offense was great in the second quarter, scoring the 24 points, but you saw nothing in the second half. The only points you scored in the second half,
from the
Bill talks about defense, was the safety that Philip Hunt provided.
Yeah, absolutely. Back to the phone lines now. We have Ace from D.C. Ace, first-time caller?
This is the War Eagle. What's
I know,
up,
I know.
Yeah, we know, we know. What's doing? Up, Ace?
Hey, check it out, man. Look, this is bothering me. I'm tired of people saying that somebody is not a real fan. What is a real Eagles fan? Is a real Eagle fan somebody that just go with the program, even if your team stinks and you know they stink, and you still come on and say, I love them, I love them.
Are you, Ace, are you rooting for the Eagles to lose these games?
That's what it sounds like.
I'm not. It's not. I think the word.
No. We were asking a simple question.
If you are a real fan, you are not rooting for the Eagles to lose these games, and I'll tell you why. If you're a real Eagles fan and you think that this season is over, that hope for this season is lost, fine. But you're hoping that the team will be good next year, right? And the only and the best way for them to be good next year is to build some momentum this year, play well at the end of this year, and carry that over to next year. If they lose the next three games and you know things get out of control, that doesn't bode well for next year.
You're right. I agree with you 100% on that. But the problem here is it's an ongoing cycle of the same thing. See, what will happen here is, and y'all know this has happened over the years, we go on these bad losing streaks, and we win out. Now, the next year will come, and we won't see a difference. See, I don't think people want the team to lose just out of spite of losing. I think people want the team to lose so they can see a change, because I think if you ask a lot of fans, do they think it'll change, they'll tell you no. See, because I look at it like this. If we went out, it's almost like saying problem solved.
I disagree. It's not problem solved because you most likely don't make the playoffs. Obviously, there's still a chance of it, but if you don't make the playoffs, something didn't go right this year. Now, can you say how much did the lockout and not having the OTAs and bringing all these new pieces in hurt the team? That's certainly going to be a factor, but this team is going to have to look itself in the mirror and figure out what happened. You're not going to just say, if they win the last three games, oh, everything's hunky-dory, everything is great, let's just roll into 2012 as status quo.
I disagree with you, Chris. See, I got to disagree with that because it has happened over and over again. See,
when has it backfired on the team, though, Ace?
For example,
when has it backfired on the team, though, Ace? Think about it. When have they had consecutive losing seasons under Andy Reid? They haven't.
Well, no, you're right. But in the last 2 years, though, this has happened. What I'm saying
is, the playoffs. Okay, won the division last year.
It seemed like Juan Castillo is going to take the grunt of this. And I don't think that's fair, because he was put in a position that they knew that he couldn't do. So at the end of the day, say we do win out. Okay, if you had to let people go, who would it be? It can't just be Juan Castillo. And a change to Eagles fans would be the coaching staff. See, you can't go into next year this way, because this is bad. All right, I'm looking at it. I think the players on this team are good. I just don't think their coach will. So if you win out, what you're going to do is you're going to fool a lot of fans and players into thinking that, you know, man, we can go into next year strong and this and that. It won't work like that. This team has to be, I don't want to say blown up, but I'm going to just throw these names. Marty Morningway, Juan Castillo, Andy Reid.
You have the coaching staff. You're of the mindset, Ace, excuse me for cutting you off here, but you just want Andy Reid gone. You're of that mindset that you want Andy out of here.
No, I'm not with that. Now, I'm saying,
then what are you at then? Because you're saying, well,
I'm at this. Andy got to go if he don't do this. The offensive coordinator, that whole staff got to go. That's the only way he stays. I really don't think they'll let him go because he's a smart, intelligent dude.
Marty Morningway, you're gonna dump the guy who's orchestrated the highest scoring teams in franchise history 3 years in a row.
Well, okay, once again, Bo, stats are great, but they not getting us wins. See, I understand. Now I feel you on that, Bo. I feel we, you know, one of the greatest, you know, exciting, but we not winning. You know, and that's
saying that you don't want us to win. You see how backwards this is?
See, you're switching it up. See, I'm not saying I don't. I'm saying that in order for a change to happen, you have to suffer. That's just like in life. In order for you to succeed in life, You have to go through bad things. And right now, this is actually good. Not saying
no,
that I want to fail and lose everything.
This is as bad as it possibly can imagine for Eagles fans because of all the expectations that they had. Thank you very much for the call, Ace. We're actually going to get rolling here because we want to break down. We can talk about this conversation all day long. There's a segment of fans that want to see change. I think it's a kind of a knee-jerk emotional reaction, but you look at the track record, again, there have not been consecutive losing seasons here. The Eagles are one of, I think, two teams that have been to the playoffs in each of the past three seasons. And I understand, yes, they have not won the Super Bowl. And that's what the organization wants. That's what the coaching staff wants. That's what we want, the fans want. That's what everyone wants. I think the thing is, what is the best way to get there?
Well, listen, you know, there's no sugarcoating that this has been a disappointing season. There's no doubt about that. And so I understand the bloodthirst because we expected such big things coming in this game. But you don't, as you said before, you don't have a knee-jerk reaction. You take all the information you have as a whole, you analyze that, and, you know, Andy Reid's track record is pretty darn good. And you don't just throw a guy to the curb like that as a knee-jerk reaction. That's not how you run things. That's not how you run a business, and that's not how you run a team.
Who's going to get the most out of Michael Vick at quarterback?
No, that's a good point.
I mean, if Michael Vick, you know, you figure this is your franchise quarterback here, you sign him to a long-term deal, Andy and Marty got him to where he is after many people thought that he would never be able to play quarterback the way that he has since he's come back to the NFL. Don't you want the guys that are going to maximize the potential of your quarterback, which is what you need to win in the NFL? We go on this all day long, but we want to go inside the film room. Adam Kaplan and Greg Cosell break down the Jets coverage schemes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Film Room. I'm Adam Kaplan. Along with me, as always, the professor of the coaching tape, our guy, NFL Films, Greg Cosell. And Greg, this week's opponent for the Philadelphia Eagles, those New York Jets, they do so much on defense. I've been looking forward to this segment for weeks because I know you've studied Rex Ryan and Mike Pettine's defense for many years. What do they bring to the table each week against the offense?
This is a defense that does a lot of things, shows you a lot of different looks. We've talked at times throughout the year about how it's a homework week when you play the Jets defense. That may apply more than ever for the Philadelphia Eagles this week. And it's concepts. And many people probably remember this first play that we're going to show because it was the first Sunday night game. It was late in the game. It was the Darrelle Revis interception. The Jets are a predominant man-to-man cover team. And one of the things they do a lot of, they have Revis play what we call cover zero man, where there's no help over the top. He plays pure man. So right now, it looks like it's your typical Revis on Bryant, mano a mano.
Revis Island.
That is correct. So watch what happens at the snap. And the person to watch is the safety right here. That, I believe, is Brodney Poole. Watch him fly back to get over the top. It's almost what we call cover two trap because he's a 2D player, a cover two safety. And they do this a lot to the short side of the field, okay? This is the short side of the field, or the boundary, as we like to call it. He turns. It's a trap. They got Romo. They baited Romo. He threw the ball. He thought it was going to be man. In fact, he made a back shoulder throw because when he threw the ball, you know what he saw? Right here. He saw Revis's back.
Mm-hmm.
So he figured he'd throw
the shoulder.
A back shoulder fade, and they'd get Revis. And by the way, they had done this earlier in the game for 26 yards to Dez Bryant. So here's a perfect example of, in a critical situation late in the game, sort of a bait and switch. And they caught...
NFL style.
And they caught Romo.
And everyone is watching that on TV saying, why did you throw? What are you thinking? Well, now we know what he's thinking.
Now, this particular play is totally different, but very, very cool. If you look at this right now, okay, this looks like it might be blitz, does it not? Look how many people are on the line of scrimmage, okay?
Yep.
That's David Harris, a linebacker. That's Calvin Pace, a linebacker. That's Eric Smith, a safety. Right now you have a nickel corner here in position to blitz, and the reason it could be blitzish here is because you have a player stacked over him to replace him in coverage. So everything about this pre-snap look says to Ryan Fitzpatrick, a smart Harvard man, by the way, that this could be blitz, correct?
Sure looks like
okay.
it.
Okay, well, watch what happens. The ball is snapped. It will not be blitz, and you'll see that. Now, and I guarantee Fitzpatrick was telling his team.
Oh, they dropped out.
They drop out, and actually you'll see even Smith drop out here. So it ends up being a three-man rush. And so they drop eight in coverage, and I can tell you right now that Fitzpatrick did not pick up Calvin Pace. He saw David Nelson, his slot receiver, his inside slot receiver to the three-receiver side, run this route, and he thought he was running it solely on a linebacker, that Nelson would whip to the outside, what we call a whip route. He'd whip to the outside. He threw this ball with conviction. He did not know Calvin Pace was sitting here. In fact, I believe that both Smith and Pace dropped out to play the strong tendency of the Buffalo Bills to run in breaking routes. And they did that, and Fitzpatrick again, and we'll see this from the end zone in a moment, Adam, but you could tell that Fitzpatrick threw this ball with conviction. He was certain that he had that throw.
Because right, because if you see it, Nelson, this throw, had that
here,
defender
right
up
now,
in there, right.
Okay, right now.
Nelson's right there.
He's winning because he's sort of pushed off a little to get to the outside. You don't see Pace in the picture. Unfortunately, Fitzpatrick didn't see Pace in the picture either. And boom, he throws it, and there's Pace. So the whole premise of the two plays we showed is what you see before the snap and what you expect based on what you see before the snap is not what you get after the snap. So you must validate. You can't anticipate that much against this defense. You must be certain before you deliver the football.
So, Greg, there's no question this is going to be a huge challenge for the Eagles. Pre-snap, post-snap for Michael Vick. Lots of studying as we come into the game. And one thing, though, the Eagles will not have to face Jim Leonard, who is out again for the second time with a season-ending injury. Brodney Poole, the veteran safety, will fill in for him. All right, next up in film room, we're going to take a look at the Jets' pressure packages. For Greg Cosell, I'm Adam Kaplan.
Opportunity, opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day. Grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it. Snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
What's up, Eagles fans? This is Trevor Laws. I just want to wish you guys a happy holiday season.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line.
Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our postgame show presented by Rico.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Welcome back to Eagles Live. Great stuff from Greg and Am there. And Bo, What did you get me for Christmas? We are it's a little over a week away.
I can't
away.
Tell you that. You have to open the present.
Jeez, such a tease. Well, if you haven't gotten your special friend, family member, loved one, anything yet for the holiday season, the Eagles Pro Shop and online store is offering free shipping for this weekend, today through Monday. Check out store.philadelphiaeagles.com. Free shipping, and make sure that you get your loved ones or whoever is on your nice list this holiday season what they want for a holiday season, whether it be jerseys, gear, outerwear, whatever Eagles related you could desire. It's right there on store.philadelphiaeagles.com. And for all of you followers of our at Eagles account on Twitter, at about 1:15 p.m. today, a little bit after the show, Senator Jason Kelsey is going to over the account and answer any questions or provide any comments that you want to talk about. All you have to do is reply to at Eagles with the hashtag Kelsey Takeover. So make sure to check that out in just a little bit. So that's some good stuff there from our Eagles Twitter account.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Jason Kelsey, he's got some pretty good stuff.
Great stuff, great insight. And he's actually on Twitter himself at J Kelsey. So definitely be something that very interesting follow. He and Evan Mathis, I think, are two of the more intriguing players on the team. Evan Mathis, 69, for those of you that want to follow him.
Evan Mathis, I believe, holds the prestigious top spot for most top tweets on Eagles Nightly.
I would believe so on that,
I believe
yes.
He does. Although, you know, Josh Goldman, PHL last night, he had a pretty good one.
He threw one in the mix there as well.
Nice. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Myron from Kansas City. Myron, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Myron?
What's up, Bo? What's up, Chris?
How you doing?
I'm good, man. Just enjoying the morning so far. Getting ready to get out here and hit the gym. But for starters, let me say, Ace is crazy, man. I think for real, he's nuts. You know, for one.
Real quick. I understand there's fans who have that viewpoint, and that's the thing.
Sometimes the perspective is just so far out there; it's not even conceivable. But you know, that's neither here nor there. Well, I think that we're gonna have a good game on Sunday. Not because, you know, because number one, we need to. I don't think we've strung together back-to-back wins this season or back-to-back convincing wins at all this season. And so, first of all, that needs to happen. Everybody's talking about how the Jets did this and just did that. Let's keep in mind, it was the Chiefs that they did beat up on. I mean, come on. You know, yeah. So
Tyler Palco.
I think they're looking past us. To be quite honest, I think they're going to coach him up during the week to not do that. But I think when you're in your winning ways, it's easy to do. You know, we've done it plenty of times when we were 10 and 10 and 4. You know, when we had 10 wins, 12 wins, we looked past teams that we should have absolutely destroyed and just didn't get it done. So that's why I'm thinking that's going to play a factor into what goes down on Sunday. And I know that D-Jax is due for a big game. He has yet to have one. He's had some nice moments in games, but he's just due to one. I think our matchups actually favor us. Because of the speed, and we're not as small or soft as everybody's perceiving us to be. And I like Landry. I think he's a monster. You know, I think Trevor Lawrence is playing really good, and Babbitt and Cole playing excellent. And I think Sanchez in those situations, he gets rattled and he makes mistakes.
Yeah, if the Eagles can find a way to put this game in the hands of Mark Sanchez, that's fine with me.
Outside of the red zone, he's good in the red zone. Jets are number one in the league in red zone offense. I think about 71% touchdown percentage. But outside of that, now of course, you have some great weapons, Burris and Santonio Holmes. They have the powerful run game down there. But outside of that, he doesn't do it for me as a quarterback. I'm intrigued to get Bob Wischusen, who's the voice of the Jets, get his take on Mark Sanchez.
High school classmate.
Not classmate. I know. Same high school, yes.
And that's right. And they don't play well from behind. And we're built to play well with leads. And I think if we get one, And we start running up the score, so to speak. I honestly believe that it can be either close, and I think Henry wins it by a field goal. If it's close, if not, it's going to be an absolute. It's going to be more decisive than it was against Miami last week.
So what are you going with? What's your prediction?
I'm going 28-17. Sanchez throws 3 picks in the first half.
Wow, nice. I like that.
We would love that.
Myron.
So Myron, great stuff there. And speaking of Derek Landry, the president of the Derek Landry Fan Club, Tommy Lawler, our Fandemonium columnist and the lead writer for EaglesBlitz.com, he's going to join us after the break right here on Eagles Live.
You can say that I like things fast. not because my supercar shoots the planes, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, please visit the Community Relations page on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're enjoying a great 2011 season together. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
We welcome everyone inside the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, and we bring on the president of the Derek Landry Fan Club, Tommy Lawler, our Fandemonium columnist, and the GM, I will say, of EaglesBlitz.com, an outstanding site if you want a different perspective on the Philadelphia Eagles. Tommy, thank you very much for joining us on the show. And you actually had a great post just the other day on just how good Derek Landry has been. And I certainly hope that his interview on Eagles Nightly the other night certainly fulfilled your expectations.
Absolutely. He did a fantastic job. And, of course, Derek is great at whatever he does. So, you know, it was entertaining to listen to him tell his story.
What is it that that you love so much about Derek Landry? We'll keep it going for a little bit.
Well, you know, when you go back to, I watched the guy in college, and he was a good player at Notre Dame, and he came into the league and made his way around the league as a backup while he was a good player at for the Jaguars, did some good things for them. And then he got to Carolina last year and had 7 tackles for loss and 3 sacks. And, you know, he did some good things. He was a great fit in the system that they were running. And then he comes to Philadelphia this year and, you know, completely an under-the-radar signing. And he lights it up in the preseason. He played very well in 3 of the 4 games. One game he was a little quiet. And it was just the fact that he played well, but he also had energy, and there was just something about him. And his celebrations when he came up with the soccer big play were funny. He was telling us a guy who played the game with a lot of joy and a lot of passion. And then, you know, he goes, and I wasn't real keen on him getting cut, but it happened. And luckily for us, he was on the street bringing him back in. And that same guy who was there in the preseason has been here in the regular season, and he makes things happen. And when you're a player that comes in as a backup, your job is to get in there and exactly that. Go in and play 100%, 100 miles an hour, and make things happen. And that's what he does. And he's the kind of player that, you know, you can win championships with when you have role players like him who do what they do.
Tommy, you had an interesting post on EaglesBlitz.com about the future of the defensive tackle position. You have arguably as good as a 1-2 punch with Jenkins and Patterson as the Eagles have had in years. You have Trevor Laws, who has been good. He's in a contract year, though, himself. You also have guys like Antonio Dixon on injured reserve. Cedric Thornton was just called up from the practice squad. Who knows if he'll get in the game this Sunday against the Jets, if we'll see him at all in 2011. What's your take on the defensive tackle position this season and moving forward?
Well, I think we've got a good set of tackles. You know, you're always looking to see if you can upgrade. So we'll see, you know, when the draft comes along, if there's a player that they feel like they can bring in, will be an upgrade, then you always go for it. But they've got a good foundation to play. Kellen Jenkins has absolutely been dynamite this year. You know, I mean, we all were sort of, I think, happy when he was signed. I don't think anybody realized just how good of a player he'd be in this system. And Mike Patterson, you know, he was a guy who had to lose some weight. He had to get back to more of his college playing style because he had been playing so much two gap in recent years for us. And he has had a good season. It's funny that you'll see a third and nine play, and there's Mike Patterson either, you know, creating a sack for somebody or getting some pressure on a quarterback. It's so unusual because for the last 3 or 4 years, he wasn't on the field for a third and nine, let alone, you know, actually doing something to help the play. You know, that's where we have guys like Darren Howard on the inside in, on third down situations.
Hey, Tommy.
So Mike has done well in adjusting to the new role, and I think if he has another offseason to get in even better shape, he can be an even better player next year. And, you know, guys like Antonio Dick, he played his best game when he got hurt. So I think the light was just starting to come on for him a little bit. But I still think Antonio Dixon's got a very good future. And, in fact, I think he's got a chance to compete for a starting role next year. The mystery guy is Cedric Thornton. Now, the Eagles liked him. I liked him prior to the draft. He has a very quick first step, and that's something you can't teach. You either have it or you don't. And he's got a big frame, and that's something we've needed on the inside. So if he can get stronger, if he can learn and adjust to the NFL, he's got a bright future, but he's still got a long way to go.
Hey, Tommy, LeSean McCoy yesterday was talking about taking the blame for his performance last week against the Dolphins, 27 carries for 38 yards. But I wonder, when you rewatched the game, was the lack of yardage for the running game more on LeSean McCoy for trying to do too much, more on the offensive line for not creating the holes, or was it just a really good performance by the Dolphins' defense?
Well, it's a little bit of all three. You know, first of all, the offensive line did not have a good game, but I think it's less on the guys didn't get the job done. I think, you know, when I watched the game, I was shocked at how well the Dolphins played. It wasn't like guys were missing blocks. The Dolphins were simply whipping it. And that defense just played a really fantastic game. I was really impressed with the way they played. McCoy is definitely at fault for some of those runs. Because, when you know, I'll sit there and I'll watch the play, and I'll pause it at the moment when he's taking his first step up the field. He's got the ball in his hands, and there's a clear hole in front of him. And what he sees a linebacker in the hole 2 yards up the field. So if he runs that ball, he's going to get a yard or two on that play. If he falls forward, maybe get 3 yards. And LeSean sees that guy, and what he does, he says, you know, I can't make that guy miss, so I'm going to bounce it right, I'm going to bounce it left, and go for a big play. And that's when all of a sudden he sees somebody, you know, come in from the outside and get him for a 5 or 6 yard loss. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with experimenting during a game and trying to get those big plays. But when a pattern emerges that there's just not going to happen that game, that's when you've got to adjust your game and say, you know what, this is a game to run straight ahead and get the 2 and 3 yard plays, because 2nd and 8, 2nd and 7 is better than 2nd and 16. That's where you're hurting your team.
Tommy, when I look at this Jets defense, one area where I think the Eagles could possibly attack with LeSean McCoy is on the edge, and that's something that Oakland did really well with Darren McFadden earlier this season. Is that a matchup that you think the Eagles can exploit?
Yeah, I do. You know, the Jets, I think, are 14th in run defense, and they've got some linebackers with size, but those guys aren't all the best athletes in the world. And if you can get LeSean out the edge, because even against the Dolphins, the best plays that we had were plays that went to the edge where we were able to steal them and have him get over toward the sideline. So I think against the Jets, who don't have as much speed as the Dolphins defense, I think that's exactly what you try to do. And you know, Darren McFadden and the Raiders did rip them to shreds. So I think LeSean McCoy is a key player for the Eagles offense. Passing the ball is going to be important as well. But LeSean McCoy, if he can play well, the offense can move the ball and score points.
Tommy, we talk so much about Darrelle Revis and what he's going to do against this Eagles offense. How do you see that matchup working out?
Well, you know, it seems to me that they should put him on Jeremy Maclin, because he's got the ability, I think, with his physicality to really bother Maclin. And then you put Cromartie over on DeSean Jackson and give a safety over the top. That way, those plays when DeSean does get by Cromartie, he's got a safety to deal with. Now, they may mix that up a little bit, but I think that's what they'll probably do. Putting Revis on a speed receiver doesn't always seem to make the most sense. Because one of the things that you love about Darrelle Revis, he's a complete corner. And if you put him on a speed receiver and the receiver goes downfield, well, then Revis is completely out of the play. But if you have him on a guy who's more intermediate underneath, if there's a pass completed to that side of the ball, he can come off and make that tackle. He'd rather keep Darrelle Revis around the football a little bit more. But it's going to be really interesting we've watched the guy now for a couple of years. We know he's a great player. But you always want to see that guy stop your guys, you know. Maybe somebody rises to the challenge. Stevie Johnson from Buffalo is the one receiver we've seen who gives Revis fit. So maybe one of the Eagles guys can do it.
Yeah, Revis has only given one touchdown all season long. Last question, Tommy, we'll let you get going here. When you look back at the tape from the Eagles' win on Sunday over the Dolphins, you look at Juan Castillo's defense, what kind of tweaks did he make so that defense was so successful, and do you think that they can finally be consistent and carry that over for a second straight week? Because that's the one thing we have not really seen from Castillo's defense so far this season.
Well, I think the best thing, schematically, you know, he did mix in the blitzes, but it wasn't like he was blitzing on 50% of plays or anything like that. He did it more than he has in any other game this year, I think, but it still wasn't a predominant part of the game plan. The front four got a lot of pressure, or most of the pressure, by themselves. The best thing I thought he did was the way he creatively used his personnel. Keenan Clayton in coverage, Casey Matthews in coverage, Casey Matthews blitzing. Dominique Rodgers Cromartie played in the slot against Brandon Marshall. So, you know, we know Dominique Rodgers Cromartie doesn't excel in the slot against smaller, quicker guys. But put him in there against a bigger guy, and he's okay because the big receiver has the same problems as he does, but he's not a quick guy, but he's a big, fast guy. So I thought he used the personnel wisely, and that is something that can carry forward. And one of the things that you like there is that Dominique Rodgers Cromartie played well. Casey Matthews had some success when he got that sack. He covered well on some plays. And when you have some success, it helps you, it builds confidence going into the future. So maybe these guys can build off that and have another good game. Because let's face it, you're right, consistency is something the Eagles have not had. And until we see it, we're just going to be hoping and guessing, but we've got to see it for this guy.
Our Fandemonium columnist, Tommy Lawlor. You can read him on EaglesBlitz.com and follow him on Twitter at LawlorNFL. Tommy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
All right, back with more on the other side, taking your phone calls and a lot more right here on Eagles Live.
Smartphones and tablets. I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
Forty years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
Eagles fans, this is guard Evan Mathis. I wanted to wish you all a very happy holidays. Bah humbug.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Rico.
This bounty of ice cream from our Lancaster County Dairy.
Share with the neighbors.
I did, but you keep making more.
We use only the finest wholesome ingredients. It's too good not to share.
Let's take it to the market.
What shall we call our ice cream?
Gobble, gobble.
And that's how Turkey Hill Dairy came to be. Imported from Lancaster County.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
I think you'll see Revis for most of the game on Sunday.
I don't know, brother. I don't know.
Is this a good pair of corners, Deshaun, as you see on film?
Yeah, I mean, they're good corners. I'm not going to put nothing past that, though. You know, it's the NFL, so that's what we expect.
Why don't you think you'll see? Why don't you know if you'll see Revis? I mean, obviously, he usually covers the best receiver on each team.
That's what he chooses to do.
How good is he individually? I mean, everyone kind of talks about the Revis Island thing.
I don't get caught up in that. I don't know.
Deshaun, for you guys, still be alive here. Do you still see a lot of fight in this locker room?
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, our drive here, you know, first and foremost is, you know, wanting to go out there and have fun and play hard. You know, sometimes things doesn't work our way, but you know, in reality, we want to do everything the right way and go out there, you know, and put it on the line and get, you know, the best results at the end of the game. So I feel, you know, everybody's up to par on that.
With Vic still sore from the ribs, what do you have to do as a receiver to help him out?
Well, I just think, you know, being in the right position at the right, you know, time, you know, when our play is called, things like that. You know, just doing everything we can, you know, as far as, like I say, being in a position, timing, you know, when we come out of break, he knows where we're at. That's the best thing as wide receivers we could do. You know, as long as the quarterback knows where we're at, you know, things will be all right.
Bobby April seemed frustrated today with the fact that the special teams haven't been able to break a little bit of play. Mm-hmm. Is that something you guys talk about a lot, and why do you think that has to happen?
I mean, you know, that's one of the things you have to be patient at. You know, this year we haven't been able to break a big one yet, so, you know, we just patiently await. You know, just kind of got to keep plugging away at it. You know, hopefully we'll break one soon.
How nice was it to finally get back in the end zone last weekend against the Dolphins?
I mean, it was good to win. That's all that matters. We won the game, so it felt good to win the game.
You haven't spoken since the Seahawks game. Do you feel like the NFL Network's depiction of you in that game was fair?
Nice question.
Did it feel good to you that Andy stuck up for you after that?
Next question.
What's the mindset like for the last three games here, Deshaun, for you personally?
Oh, mindset is great. You know, I'm just coming to work, having fun, doing everything I need to do, you know, to stay out of the way and just, like I said, coming to work and work as hard as I can. As far as anything else, mindset-wise, I don't get caught up in that.
All right, Deshaun Jackson certainly focused on making an impact in these last couple of games of the season. I love how everyone's like, well, who do you think is going to cover you? Deshaun doesn't know. I mean,
he probably,
you know, and he probably figures, you know, maybe there's a chance where he was covering. Maybe it's Cromartie. Okay, you study the couple guys on film, and you go out and play. I think it's pretty much as simple as that.
And, you know, Antonio Cromartie's no slouch either, so.
No. Actually, I was talking to Dominique Rogers Cromartie in the locker room yesterday about the relationship. They're first cousins. Dominique said that they really didn't get to know each other until they both came into the NFL. But Dominique gave a scouting report and said that probably at this point in his career, Dominique would be the faster of the two. Said Antonio was a speedster earlier in his heyday. But Dominique said that, you know, sort of very similar skill set to him, a tall, rangy corner. He's going to have the athleticism to keep up with the speedy guys. That's why we kind of figure that there's a good chance that Cromartie will cover Deshaun Jackson. Really good ball skills. So he's given up, I think, 4 touchdowns on the season. Otherwise, the catches and yards is actually very comparable to Revis. I mean, you really don't want to throw against either guy, much like when, you know, quarterbacks face the Eagles. They don't want to throw it at Asante Samuel. They don't want to throw it at Asamoah. They don't want to throw it at any of these guys, really. So really the same situation there for the Eagles going to this contest.
That's true. I'm puffing my chest out in tribute to the birthday boy, Greg, the Duke DeLuca.
Indeed.
Turned 65 today. Hope he enjoys those senior discounts. But One thing I want to talk to you about, Darryl Tapp, probably not going to play this week. Who do you think is going to step in as that other defensive end on the right side? I know earlier in the season, Jaquay was over there, both him and Brandon Graham inactive last week. Who do you think steps up?
Parker, because he's better against the run, and that's what you are more concerned with the Jets this week. That would be my guess right there. You had a chance to talk to Brandon on Wednesday, and Brandon seems sort of resigned to the fact that there's a chance he may not play again this season. Whether that remains to be seen, you know, whether that is true, it would be remains to be seen. But, you know, Brandon's already kind of talking about 2012, and he's hoping to prove himself. But looking at the here and now, I think Jaquay Parker is the guy that would be up if Tapp is unable to go. Tapp, it's weird because you hear the players and you hear him being optimistic, saying he's doing everything in rehab, he's doing everything he can to get out there and play Sunday, and it's a tribute to him. Guy's got a busted rib very easily. Could just say, I'm not going in action this week, but he wants to be out there. He wants to help this team down the stretch, and you know, you're seeing a lot of fight, a lot of toughness from these guys. Deshaun talked in his interview about the mindset of the team. The guys want to win these last couple games.
Yeah, you know, he's got a broken rib, so it's hard to imagine him playing a week after. Brandon Graham is a guy who, you know, he's very confident. He has a lot of confidence in his ability, and he hears everybody talking about Jason Pierre-Paul.
Of course.
You know, the guy was picked just after him and how successful he's been this year. So he's, you know, he's hungry to prove himself on the field. But I do think that we have to see what he can do next year with a full offseason. Really, you know, he spent all last season rehabbing and not really able to do anything football-wise.
And so couldn't rehab here at NovaCare on top of it. So
you know, you wait and see what happens with Brandon next year. You know, I'd certainly like to see him make an impact in these last three games. But it does sound like he's sort of targeting next year as his coming out party. And obviously that would be a big boon to this Eagles defense.
No, most certainly so. We're going to go back into the locker room now. LeSean McCoy was very down on himself when he talked about his performance last Sunday against the Dolphins, said it was probably the worst performance of his NFL career. And this is a guy who still scored two touchdowns and is now within one of both the single-season rushing touchdown record and total touchdown record, which were both set by Steve Van Buren back in 1945. Great company to be in with there. So here's LeSean McCoy on what he needs to improve and what he's still learning, even though he's having a dynamic 2011 campaign.
I might try to do extra stuff on my own, but nothing like last game. You know, like I said, I played terrible. It's probably my worst game of my college, my NFL career. I just try to make so much happen.
Well, I mean, you guys had a pretty commanding lead. Why is it that you were feeling like you had to make more?
Like I said, the first couple times they stopped me, mm-hmm. You know, because we started off good.
Right. You had 20 yards in your first two carries.
I know. And then, I just kind of got frustrated, man, when I wasn't really, making any yards. You know, because he was kind of feeding me. Like, I knew this game plan was for them guys that they were going to ride me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel like I held up to the part.
Right.
As far as, you know, because there was some lanes there. You know, mm-hmm. I was trying to just make too much happen.
Right.
You know. Instead of taking the two or the one that was there, just, you know, to even it out, I might try to make something happen, you know. And I just got to learn, I guess. Sometimes you can't do all that. You know, sometimes you can't be the big playmaker of the day and all that type of stuff.
Andy said that you came over the sideline. You're pretty upset with him about.
But what?
But he said you thought you were losing too many yards or something like that in certain plays.
Yeah, I just told him, like I said, I was losing the yards, trying to make too many plays. Like, once they kind of stopped me a couple of times, I got so angry, man, frustrated. You know, I'm a competitor. I like to compete. And, just trying to make too many things happen. You know, trying to break too many tackles and spit out and, you know, just trying to do extra stuff. And in this league, you can't really do too many things like that, you know, be successful in the run game.
Do you feel like you're still learning?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, some plays. I mean, it's crazy that, like, the jump I've made. You know, I do stuff on tape. I'm like, wow, how'd I do that? And then there's sometimes in a game where I might make a bad play. You know, I'm thinking, like, damn, wow, what am I thinking here? You know, so I'm still learning. I mean, it's only my third year. It's always room for improvement. You know, and this part's in my game that I can be better at. You know, one of the biggest parts, I think, is just taking, being satisfied with just the little yards, you know. The twos, the ones, you know, just even getting back to the line of scrimmage. You know, I just hate I just hate negative plays, you know, and I try to make the best of every run. In this league, you can't, you know. So guys on defense, they get paid too.
What was it like last week when you weren't gaining a whole bunch of yards? I guess it felt pretty good that they were still going back to you at that point.
Yeah, like I said, I knew they were going to feed me. You know, coach kind of told me that. You know, so I was so amped up and juiced up. Like, here's my break to show that I can get the ball, you know, and do everything. And I was so frustrated and, you know, not really doing too well. You know, and then I try to make things happen, so.
You think any of that, you know where you are among the rushing leaders, you know how close
No, it's not like that. Plus it's like, it's a lot of battles, man, because knowing, like, you know, when I got here, it was never no eight in a box, stuff like that, or, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't too much attention. You know what I mean? Now I'm getting this, like, all right, I still want to prove them wrong. Like, you know, we still can run the ball if there's extra guys in there or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. So it don't have nothing to do with really stats, you know.
Just more like proving man ego then.
It didn't really help. You know, I was seeing Reggie Bush going crazy. I'm like, uh-oh. So.
When you got more frustrated, was that when you started trying to do too much? You think?
Yeah. To be honest, just trying to spin out of stuff. And, like, when the defense has you, I mean, the fight's over, you know. They got you, maybe. It's a one-yard gain or a two-yard gain, you know, take it. I just got to learn that, you know, take the big runs, take the small runs, and take the zero and one-yard runs, you know. So that's the biggest part I get better at, just taking it, you know, instead of trying to make that guy miss and then, you know, hit it for 15 or 20, you know. It's weird because a lot of times it works out, you know.
Right.
And then sometimes, you know, the defense gets me, and I should just take it.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why?
Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line.
Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
The official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
It's time for our weekly fantasy spin here on Eagles Live, where we bring in Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com. And Joe, Michael Vick and the Eagles offense going against the renowned Jets defense. You have Michael Vick ranked the lowest in your projections that I've seen maybe all season long, 10th among quarterbacks going into this week's slate of games. What's the deal with that, Joe?
Well, you know, Chris, obviously, as we say every week, you know, Michael Vick's so hard to rank lower than a place like that because of the chance that he makes a big play, whether with his arm or with his legs. But really, what we saw last week against the Dolphins, it was concerning. And the Dolphins are an aggressive defense. And really what I'm concerned about with Michael Vick is that he invites the pass rush, whether by breaking the pocket too soon or by just not really feeling the rush coming on. And a guy, for instance, like, and Aaron Maben, who's kind of revitalized his career with the Jets, he can get after Michael Vick. And I think Rex Ryan, Chris, is going to understand that Michael Vick is making some mistakes, and he's going to put his defense in a position to get after him.
So, Joe, does that mean that you'd be hesitant to start either DeSean Jackson or Jeremy Maclin or even Brent Celek at tight end?
Yes, I would. I mean, Celek, actually, I think he's an interesting reach. Obviously, the strong safety for the Jets, Jim Leonard, towards the Teller tendon last week. So Brent Celek could find some room down the seams. But I am very concerned about DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin, namely because I don't know which guy Darrelle Revis is going to be covering. Now, if I were the Jets, I'd put Revis on Maclin because he's a better receiver, and because Antonio Cromartie can run with DeSean Jackson. So while I wouldn't say I would bench them under all circumstances, I understand that if I put them in my lineup, I'm definitely taking a risk.
For the Jets offense, Sean Green has scored 4 touchdowns the last 2 games, coming off a season-high 129 yards last week against the Chiefs. What do you think he's going to do against this Eagles defense?
It's hard to say. I mean, the Eagle defense has really, Chris, kind of been either good against run or terrible against the run. Last week, it was kind of a combination of both. It allowed Reggie Bush a few runs, but Daniel Thomas did nothing, and Bush, outside of those few runs, was really not particularly effective. Now, what the Dolphins could do with Reggie Bush was attack the perimeter with Bush. Sean Green is not that type of runner. I would expect to see LaDainian Tomlinson worked in, and I would expect to see the Jets try to attack Sean Green between the tackles early in the game to see if they can exploit the weaknesses at linebacker. But if they can't do that, the Jets have shown that they will go away from Sean Green if they can't rely on him, and that's exactly what the Eagles want. The Eagles want Mark Sanchez dropping back, and the Eagles want Mark Sanchez to have to throw the football because that's when they can get after him with the pass rush.
Joe, the Eagles have struggled in the red zone defensively, obviously. They made some strides there last week against the Dolphins, but the Jets have been very efficient in the red zone this year. Plaxico Burress and Santonio Holmes, I think both 7 touchdowns each. Are those guys that you're both starting?
Plaxico Burress is interesting. He didn't catch a ball last week, and he kind of reverted back to the guy he was early in the year. He was scoring a touchdown, or he wasn't. The Jets, my issue with the Jets is, ideally, they don't want to throw the ball a lot. So Santonio Holmes scored last week, but he only had 2 catches. Plaxico Burress didn't have a catch. You know, Sean Green had 3 catches, and he's not much of a receiver. They're trying to take the game out of Mark Sanchez's hands, and really, that's a smart thing to do. Now, I'm comfortable starting Santonio Holmes as a number 3 receiver. Plaxico Burress, I'm more of, if I need a guy with some upside, I'll start him. Dustin Keller's kind of the same way. So I don't feel comfortable doing it outside of Santonio Holmes because I understand there is some downside with using these guys because they just might not throw the football a whole lot.
Joe, let's look around the rest of the National Football League, especially at the injury factor here. Quarterbacks Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, Matt Hasselbeck in Tennessee, 2 guys that you would typically start if you have them on your fantasy teams. What are you doing if you own those players going to this weekend's set of games, which, of course, for everyone out there, is their fantasy playoffs?
Well, honestly, Chris, I'd argue that you wouldn't be starting Matt Hasselbeck, and if you were relying on him to start for you, you're probably done by now because he's been, lowest-ranked starting quarterback over the last 3 weeks, over the last 4 weeks. So, honestly, from a fantasy standpoint, I'd rather Jake Locker plays because if you watched him last week, he moves around, he makes plays with his legs. That's what we kind of look for in a fantasy quarterback. It's why Tebow's been successful. It's why Christian Ponder's been successful when he's played this year. It's why Vic, obviously, this year and last year was successful as a fantasy starting quarterback. So Jake Locker, from my perspective, I'd rather he plays anyway. Now, Ben Roethlisberger is interesting. The reason Ben Roethlisberger is interesting is because he plays on Monday night, and he is typically a fantasy starter quarterback. I don't know if it's worth taking the risk that Ben Roethlisberger is going to play Monday night, and if he does it, you're going to have to end up dropping somebody to pick up Charlie Batch or Alex Smith. I'm a little worried about that. If I have a solid backup option to a Ben Roethlisberger, for instance, like a Rex Grossman, who's actually been putting up like top 12 level numbers the last few weeks, I would play Grossman on Sunday before I played Roethlisberger on Monday because I understand that if Roethlisberger comes down to a game-time decision on Monday, I might be strapped and I might have to end up playing a Charlie Batch in a playoff week, and I don't want to do that.
Joe, some other injuries that are affecting fantasy owners. We'll start with Greg Jennings in Green Bay. You know, we talked about Santonio Holmes and Plaxico Burress. If you're looking to get that last spot wide receiver in the lineup, do you go to a guy like Donald Driver or Randall Cobb over those guys?
Well, it's seems to me that James Jones is going to be the guy who's actually going to start for Greg Jennings. And he can do some of the same things. He's a little bit more of a downfield type of threat. And he and Jordy Nelson can both really stretch the field. Now, in my opinion, you're taking a gamble if you're starting either Jones or Driver or Randall Cobb. I would probably put Cobb third on my list among those guys because you never really know which guy Aaron Rodgers is going to look for in crunch time. That's obviously my biggest issue with playing any of these guys. Now, that said, I also think JerMichael Finley might be the guy to benefit. Last year, before JerMichael Finley got hurt in Week 5, Finley was the number one target in Green Bay, and Greg Jennings was non-existent. I'm wondering if it might be the other way around this year. With Jennings out, Finley becomes, once again, a very highly featured part of this offense.
Looking around the rest of the keep it in the NFC North here. Adrian Peterson basically telling fantasy owners that he will play this Sunday. Good news for them, obviously, because you're going to be putting him in the lineup. But going back to Green Bay, obviously, big game last week for Ryan Grant. Is he a guy that you could keep in your lineup, especially since James Starks is iffy for this Sunday?
I wouldn't feel comfortable with it because I'm just not a fan of Ryan Grant. I don't know if you watched that long touchdown run he had last week. I mean, the guy was just so slow. He really is slow. And, you know, he came through for you if you needed to use him. He scored 2 touchdowns. But I'm wondering, Chris, if you're in a position with Ryan Grant where you take what you got from him and then you understand that he's just really not going to get it done otherwise. That said, Kansas City, not a terrible matchup. Green Bay should be playing from ahead this entire game. So if you need to use Ryan Grant as a flex, I guess I'm okay with it. But understand that there's a significant downside to using this guy because really, if the Packers had any better options, he probably would have been cut before the year.
Joe, one last thing we'll let you get going. Give us a surprise player that you might be able to slip into your fantasy lineup this week that could deliver you a fantasy championship that might be going under the radar this week.
I tell you one thing, guy, Chris. If you're in a PPR league, I'm really interested about Devin Aromashadu, the wide receiver in Minnesota. And while I'm not totally thrilled with his skill set, I think he's just a big guy who really has done nothing but stay on the roster while people have gotten hurt in front of him. He has been targeted 24 times over the past 2 weeks, and he's made 10 catches. He had 6 for 90 in Week 13 and 4 for 47 last week. And he would have had a bigger game last week. Number one, if he didn't let a pass bounce off its chest, he'll correct that error. Number two, if Christian Ponder didn't get benched and they had to put in Joe Webb to save Ponder's confidence. I think against the Saints this week that the Vikings are going to have to throw a lot. And they've been showing over the last couple weeks that they will throw the ball to Devin Aromashadu. If you are desperate for a number 3 wide receiver and you're in a PPR league, he might be available on the waiver wire, and he's worth a pickup to play this week.
If you need more projections, if you need start-sit advice, if you need X and O's from the film room, if you need detailed analysis on each and every game for this weekend, go to fantasyguru.com and check out more of Joe Dolan's work. Joe, thank you very much for joining us here in the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Wanted to show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Hey Eagles fan, it's Dominique Rogers Cromartie. I want to thank you for your support and have a happy holidays.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
This bounty of ice cream from our Lancaster County Dairy.
Share with the neighbors.
I did, but you keep making more.
We use only the finest wholesome ingredients. It's too good not to share.
Let's take it to the market.
What shall we call our ice cream?
Gobble, gobble. And that's how Turkey Hill Dairy came to be. Imported from Lancaster County.
Welcome back to Eagles Live here on Philadelphia.com. Chris McPherson here along with Bo Wolf. In a little bit, we're going to have Bo's interview with Danny Watkins, where he did in the studio for last night's Eagles Nightly. And make sure to tune in tonight at 7 p.m. as we will have Trent Cole in the studio. He joins us every Friday on Eagles Nightly. And it turns out that the Eagles are undefeated when Cole has joined Dave in the studio for Eagles Nightly on Friday edition. So hopefully we'll keep that rolling for the next couple weeks here. But, again, you look at the Eagles' offense going against this Jets defense. What did you take out of Michael Vick's performance, his first game back in a month after missing three games with the rib injury last Sunday against Miami?
Well, I think he showed a little bit of rust, which was to be expected, you know, not playing for 3 weeks, and he's still fighting through a little bit of pain. You know, I like to see that they were opportunistic when they got those chances afforded to them by the defense. They were very efficient in the red zone. I thought that was impressive. And, you know, he did a good job finding guys down the field when he was creating some time, particularly that one roll to the left when he found Jason Avant right before the touchdown pass to Deshaun. But I think that I would expect him to play better than he did last week, this week against the Jets, even though it's an even better defense. I think that having last week under his belt, Michael should probably do a better job this week.
The offensive line struggled with the speed of that Dolphins defense, and Rex Ryan is so creative and crafty with the different personnel groupings. You've heard the players in the locker room talk about that they'll throw a nickel package out there. Then they'll throw, you know, same nickel package in terms of, you know, amount of linebackers and defensive backs, but it'll be totally different players. And then you'll see one version of a sub package with, say, you know, they'll have six linebackers on one, they'll have six defensive backs on the other. They just mix everything up so much that you pointed to this earlier in the show where Brent Celek said that you have to worry about blocking your spot, not so much the man, and that's the one thing that I hope that the coaches work on with the players this week is making sure that they're not so confused by all the different alignments that you're going to see from this Jets defense.
One of the things we saw, again, last week that we've seen a lot this season was those tipped balls, and I know you've been looking at that a little bit. What have you found, and is there a reason behind that?
There's really not one reason. You know, Michael Vick said in the studio with Dave Spadaro earlier this week that he's never encountered this in his career. He had four last week against the Dolphins, about 30, Vic said, for the season, and a number of them have led to interceptions, and Michael Vick's interception total has been astronomical compared to last season when he was very good at taking care of the football. The Eagles' turnover differential has been abysmal, and that's one of the reasons that they are 5, maybe arguably the biggest reason that they are 5-8 this season. Some of it can be attributed to luck. One thing that was interesting that Marty Morningwake said during his press conference yesterday is that defensive linemen are just much better at feeling where a quarterback is in his movement when he's getting ready to throw the football. Another thing that hasn't really been discussed regarding the tip balls is that it's a brand new offensive line scheme this season, and I wonder how Vic overall has adjusted to it. Players said that he's been doing well with it, but it's a brand new, more athletic offensive line. You know, the guys are going to be in a different space. Maybe if Michael Vick, he tends to drift in the pocket, and maybe when you drift that little bit, those passing lanes will be altered, and when he maybe thinks he has something, he really doesn't have it there. I know a lot of people say, well, what can the offensive line do about it? A couple of the guys have said, you try to grab the jersey, but you risk the holding penalty. Maybe you give them a shot to the gut to kind of make them put it in their minds, don't do it next time. But, you know, there's guys, and Marty pointed this out as well, there's tall guys. You know, everyone says, well, Vic's 6 feet. That's got to be the issue. You don't see that with Drew Brees, really, in New Orleans. They're short guys who don't have issue with it. There's tall guys who do have issues with this at times. Vic said himself he has not changed anything from this season. The only thing that I see drastically different from last year this year is the offensive line in terms of how it's built and the scheme that's playing. I can't quite explain if that's the reason or why that would be the reason, but it's definitely something that I don't know if you can really practice unless everyone's holding. You can't just say everyone's hold broomsticks at practice to kind of defend it, because you're not really throwing over defenses. Right. You're throwing through the lanes. It's something that the coaches really have to try to figure out in these last couple of weeks.
All right, back to the phone lines we go. Tom from New York. Tommy boy, how you doing?
No. It's Zomp. Come on, Bo.
Colin. Seriously.
Zomp.
It's Zomp.
Colin.
How did
Tom,
you get that wrong?
How do you mix up Zomp?
How do you not know the voice of the Zomp man? You should have recognized the voice. You shouldn't even have had to ask for his name.
Jeez.
Zomp.
I feel disrespected.
We apologize.
I feel disrespected for you.
We apologize.
It's all right, guys. I love you guys. What's going on?
Oh, you know,
good to hear from you, Zomp.
Here's the thing. There was a scene at practice yesterday where Brian Roll, linebacker, was matched up on LeSean McCoy, and McCoy is calling out mismatch, mismatch. And Roll gave him a little bit of a shove.
Knocked him on his butt.
And this carried over into the locker room where McCoy is saying that there's no linebacker or safety in the league that can cover him. And Asante Samuel is like, put your money where your mouth is. And then McCoy's kind of like, oh, kind of backing off and you know, saying that, oh, now that you put it like that, now that you want to, you know, bet on it, I don't know about that. And Asante is talking for like the whole defense, he and Kirk Coleman, LeSean trying to get Michael Vick on his side to pony up for him. But it was kind of an interesting scene in the locker room where you can see the team coming together, and you kind of say to yourself, I don't know if I've really seen this kind of camaraderie all season long from this team. That's, I think, one of the things that's been an issue with this, and I'll say team, is you've seen individual talent, but you haven't seen it gel as a team. Maybe we're starting to now see that, and it could be too little too late, but it was fun to watch this play out in the locker room yesterday, because you saw the whole locker room kind of coming together as one behind this.
When did this happen? I didn't even hear.
This was yesterday after practice. It's not like a big story you're going to be writing about. It's just something that you kind of, you know, take note of, and
yeah,
it's just something that, you know, you're just observing the locker room. You're just kind of seeing what's going on with the guys. That's just something that, you know, again, you're not going to see people writing all these stories about it. I think one of the Inquirer guys, Jonathan Tamari, tweeted about it. But outside of that, it's not something you're really going to talk, you know, you're going to do a whole thing on. But you just look for little things like that. What is the team coming together? Is the team rallying? Is the team fighting? And the effort you saw from the defense, the fact that you see a guy like Darrell Tapp, who's got a broken rib and who's like, you know, trying to convince everyone who will listen that he's going to play Sunday. It's like guys don't have to, you know, they don't have to do that at 5-8. A lot of guys can throw in the towel in the season, but you're not seeing that from this locker room.
But listen, man, we're the city of Philadelphia. You know, city of Philadelphia has a lot of heart, man. We don't want to finish, you know, what is it, 5-11, man. We want to finish strong, and I think you know, this is definitely a beatable Jets team. I think, you know, if we stop the run, you know, their run's been good the last 3 weeks. Sean Green's been outstanding the last 3 weeks, but they play nobody. I mean, Kansas City, Washington. I mean, I think we're better than these teams, even though paper doesn't show it. But I think if we stop the run, pressure Sanchez. I think Nnamdi should be shadowing Plaxico because of the tallness, the height, and you know, I just feel that we definitely could win this game, but it depends what Eagles team is going to show up. Is it going to be the team that shows up where we're tackling and being fierce and we're flying all over the ball,
or is it going to be
the Eagles team that can't tackle and don't know what's going on?
Zomp, I know you hate Giants fans being there in New York. How do you feel about Jets fans?
They're number two, not number two on my list, but they're on my top five list. I hate Rex Ryan, can't stand him, and even though Sanchez, you know, he's a bit cocky in his own way. Plaxico Burress, you know, with that Super Bowl, and he's an Eagle killer anyway. But today I was listening on the radio. You know, unfortunately I don't get 610, so I don't get to listen to Philadelphia. But they were saying today on the radio, which I think is wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. But isn't it true that if the Giants beat Washington and Dallas loses to Tampa Bay, and then the following week the Giants lose to the Jets and we take care of business with Dallas, don't we need Dallas to beat the Giants the last game of the season?
Yes.
For us to make the playoffs?
Yes.
Yeah, because they were saying Washington needs to beat the Giants and Tampa Bay needs to beat Dallas. That's not necessarily true.
The bottom line is neither the Giants nor the Cowboys can win two of their final three games. They each have to go 1-2.
And we have to win all three.
And the thing is that, of course, that's the other component, is the Eagles have to win all their games. The thing is, if both the Cowboys and the Giants win their matchups this week, that means one of them is going to, at the very worst, tie, you know, in that last game of the season. So that's all the scenarios and all the, you know, predictions come into play there.
Right, right. But listen, man, I'll be there Sunday. I'm coming up Sunday.
Nice.
I don't know if you heard. I'll be there Sunday.
No,
I
have not heard.
No, my mom surprised me. What was it, last week, an early Christmas gift.
Very nice.
So I was like happy, and I was sad. Happy because I was like, oh, man, I'm coming to Philly again. That's awesome. But then sad because I'm 1-4 at the link, man. I don't want to bring bad luck to these guys, man.
Ooh.
It's not your fault, Tom.
Yeah, I know, man. But listen, we didn't hear no bell yet, have we, man? So let's keep on going. Let's fight. And you never know. In the NFL, it's a tricky league. You never know what's going to happen.
So are you bringing the fiance again?
Yeah, of course, man. She says, I want to come with you. So I'm like, now she's starting to learn. See, you give her the ring, now she's beginning to.
There you go.
I gave my prediction. I think it was 23-17.
Yeah, I got it right here.
Spadaro wrote it down. But, guys, if I don't see you, let's go Birds, and let's go Skins, and let's go Bucks.
All right, exactly. Thanks for the call, Tommy.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, let's go to that Danny Watkins interview from last night's Eagles Nightly. And then after that, we're going to talk to Bob Wischusen and go behind enemy lines to learn a little bit more about the Jets. And welcome back to Eagles Nightly here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Very pleased to be joined by Eagles starting right guard Danny Watkins. Danny, thanks for joining us.
No worries.
So a big game, obviously, this week against the New York Jets. Another 3-4 team. You guys are sort of playing a lot of 3-4 teams here, I think. Every team left on the schedule. You played a Dolphins team last week. What's the difference between a 3-4 and a 4-3, and does it change your job at all as a right guard?
Not really. I mean, it's just different blocking assignments and just a few different techniques. So we've seen a little bit in the preseason throughout the regular season. So it's something that we just scheme for, and we've been just planning it out, and it's been, just like another week.
Does it help at all that it's sort of a run of 3-4 teams in a row, so you don't have to bounce back and forth between the two?
It does, yes and no. I mean, there's less. It gets less complicated when you do the same thing week over, week over, week over. So it helps a little bit, that's for sure.
Some guys have talked about there being some similarities between this Jets defense and the Dolphins defense you played last week. A lot of people talking about how much the Jets disguise what they're going to do on defense. How much do you have to worry about that?
With a team like that, our big thing is we're not going to try and guess what they're doing. We're just going to go out and do what we have to do. And kind of like what you were saying with the Dolphins, they are very similar, even their front three and outside linebackers. So I think, our success that we had last week, we need to learn from the lumps that we had and carry the good stuff over this week.
Some guy, I think it might have been Brent Celek, was mentioning block the spot, not block the player. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, no, that's kind of that's our approach. And like I said, we're not going to be doing any guessing. We're just going to block what we see.
Last week against the Dolphins, you guys were very efficient in the red zone. That was maybe one of the most impressive things about you guys on offense. What have you guys, have you done anything differently in the red zone, or just, being crisper?
I think just being crisper, working on more technique more than anything. We've installed a few new things, but I think we're going to work with what we did last week and just work off of that.
Getting Michael Vick back obviously made a big difference for you guys. How nice was it to have, the leader back in the huddle?
It was good to see Seven back there again. So, whenever you see him, it always brings a smile to your face. That's for sure.
Pretty unique blocking for a guy like Michael Vick and then also a guy like LeSean McCoy, two guys who can sort of make things happen.
Yeah, I mean, if they get in a bind, they have that ability to scramble out and make something out of nothing. So, very skilled, very gifted.
In terms of LeSean McCoy, what is the most impressive part of what you think he's done this season?
Just his ability. He's such an athletic player. He's not the power rusher type, but he can play like it when he needs to. And he's also got that speed and that shiftiness to get around blocks. And he's, he's just a freak of a player. And you watch him on film, and And, you know, you go out and practice, and it just makes you want to block that much harder for him because you know he's going to make something happen.
For you personally, what has this season been like? How far do you feel like you've come as a player from, you know, preseason to when you first got the starting job back and then to now?
It's been just each week just getting better and better and better, learning something new every game, getting more confident, getting better, a better technique. So it's been a steady increase in progress, so I'm pleased with how things are coming.
What do you feel like is the biggest jump that you've made as the season has gone along?
Just football IQ, football knowledge, you know, just the schemes of the offense, I think, were one of the things I was definitely lacking in before, just with the condensed schedule and then the holdout, it definitely didn't help. So obviously having that understanding has been helping me a lot.
Is there a particular area that you feel like you need to work on to take the next step?
probably all of it. I mean, no, it's coming. I'm not getting complacent with anything, so it's just a daily grind, just coming in, watching the film, learning, and applying to what I see, and just keep working away.
And, you know, all the offensive linemen will talk about Howard Mudd, obviously, and what he does as a coach. What's it been like going through the season with Howard?
He's an encyclopedia of knowledge. You know, I want to be like a sponge and just learn as much as I can from him, because he's been around the block once or twice.
All right. Well, Danny Watkins, thank you so much for joining us in the studio. On the other side, we're going to take a look at that Jets defense in the film room right here on Eagles Nightly.
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
Empty backfield as Vic takes the snap. He's looking. He's being chased. He gets out of the way. He runs. He pumps. He fires. Touchdown!
I'm Michael Vick, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
The Eagles season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
Grossman in the shotgun, and also Cooley, who makes the catch, and he is fouled down. What a hit by Asamoah. Cooley made the catch in the flat, and Asamoah just leveled him for a 2-yard loss. What a play by Asamoah.
He makes the catch, but he didn't net very much.
Hey, Eagles fans, this is Nnamdi Asamoah, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
We're pleased to be joined inside the studio by the voice of the New York Jets, Bob Wischusen, who calls the games for ESPN Radio and also a proud alumnus of Union Catholic Regional High School in northern New Jersey. Bob, thank you very much for joining us here on Eagles Live.
No worries, guys. How you doing?
We're doing good. And, Bob, The last time the Jets lost was against Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos 4 weeks ago. What has changed about this Jets team since that loss?
Their offensive line has played a lot better. They've kept heat off Mark Sanchez. They've run the ball more effectively. I think that's probably number one. If I had to pick one thing more than anything else, that's improved. But that'll really be tested this week against the Eagles' pass rush. I think that might go from being the number one improvement to arguably even the number one concern this week.
Bob, a couple of things that we've been focusing on with the Jets this week. First of all, starting with their red zone offense. They've been very efficient in the red zone. The Eagles, for the last 2 years, have been pretty dismal in the red zone. What do the Jets do so well, and does it have a lot to do with those guys at receiver, Plaxico and Santonio Holmes?
Yeah, I mean, they've got really good red zone receivers. So if you throw Dustin Keller in there as well, their ability to run the ball, and I think, you know, in combination with running it, because it kind of keeps the defense off balance, you know, Plaxico Burress has 7 touchdowns. I bet at least 5, if not 6 of the 7, have been thrown in the red zone. And I think you will see teams respond to that with their coverage, so that if he's not even necessarily the target in the red zone, you'll see a safety rolled over the top to try and take away, you know, the back corner fade or, you know, the skinny post. I mean, some of those routes that he can run in the red zone, that being 6'5", gives him a major advantage. So, yeah, they're 12 for their last 12 in the red zone in scoring touchdowns.
Wow.
And they're number one in the NFL in red zone touchdown percentage, which to me is really the only red zone statistic that really matters. I think teams sometimes doctor that stat to make it seem like they're a successful red zone team when they're not. I mean, if you're in the red zone and you're kicking a bunch of field goals, technically you have scored in the red zone, but when you get inside the 20-yard line, it's about scoring touchdowns. If you're not scoring touchdowns, then, you know, that's, to me, a negative possession.
Well, and Eagles fans would tell you that the other stat that matters is 8 red zone turnovers for this Eagles offense. That's obviously very debilitating. Speaking of the offense, Darrelle Revis obviously is the guy who stands out for the Jets defense. We've been talking about where he'll be assigned against this Eagles team. Do you get the sense that it'll be on Macklin and then using a safety and Cromartie to worry about DeSean Jackson?
You know, usually it's the other way around. Usually if you take the receivers for the opposition, you find the number one receiver, which I would assume most people would say is DeSean Jackson. And they put Revis oftentimes in zero coverage on the number one receiver, and they'll take Cromartie, maybe even with a safety over the top on the number two guy. I don't know that any other team in the NFL would ever play it that way. The Eagles, I would think, with their corners, could conceivably have the ability to play it that way with Asamoah sometimes, but the Jets do it often. So I wouldn't even be surprised if there's a fair number of possessions in the game where you see Revis on Jackson without help. That gives the Jets almost the force and effect of a 12th defender, you know, which they need because their safeties, and especially without Jim Leonard now, their safeties are not great in coverage. So a lot of times it gives them the ability to try and overload either to the middle of the field or to the number two guy's side, almost as if they've got a 12th guy, because Revis is that good and they're that confident in putting him on a number one guy without any help.
Bob, why is the perception that this Jets defense is not as good as the first 2 years that Rex Ryan was a head coach there in New York?
Well, statistically it's not. I mean, it's still a good defense, but Rex talks up the defense to such an extent that it's almost impossible for them to live up to expectations. Where if they put up good numbers, they're a disappointment, as opposed to they almost have to be the number one defense in the NFL to even meet what his expectations are. Which, I mean, I've got no problem with a coach setting high expectations for his team, and that's what Rex does, and, you know, I'm fine with that. And I think a lot of Jets fans are fine with that. They want to have the number one defense in the NFL. But you know, as a result, because Rex draws so much attention to himself as a defensive coordinator and his defense as a whole, the Jets have one bad drive at the end of a game, they give up one big play, and it almost draws, you know, probably a misproportioned negative attention to them. If you look at them this year, they're a good defense.
They're probably a legit top 10 defense. I don't think they're a top 3, top 5 defense, but I think they're certainly in somewhere in between, say, 6 and 10th. If you look at, you know, the number of yards they've given up, the number of points they allow, you know, and also factor in the number of times that that the Jets have turned it over. Sanchez, I believe, has thrown, is it 4 pick sixes this year? He's had a couple of other, you know, strip sacks where they've scooped it up and brought it back for a time. I mean, there's at least, I want to say, 5 or 6 touchdowns that have scored against the Jets with the defense on the sideline this year. Well, and that, of course, goes on in the points against category, which theoretically is a reflection against your defense. So, you know, I think their defense is pretty good. I don't think it's the dominant defense that Rex would like to have. I think he'd like to have what he had in Baltimore, which is, you know, you're setting records. You're giving up 12 points a game. He doesn't have that, but he has a defense that he can win with.
Bob, we know that Rex Ryan's been talking all week about how talented this Eagles team is and sort of warding against a trap game, but the Jets come in, you know, 3 wins in a row. They're going up against a 5-8 team, and they've got that rivalry game against the Giants on the horizon next week. Any chance that you think this could be a bit of a letdown for the Jets?
No chance. I mean, I think all they have to do is look at the weapons that the Eagles have, the numbers they have rushing the passer. I mean, they're a 3-point underdog in this game. So if they somehow think that this is a, you know, look past it to the Giants game, and I do think that they're, and not that they couldn't lose the game, they certainly can lose the game, but I think their focus really is now knowing that, you know, they lose some tiebreakers to some teams in the AFC. They need to try to stay a game ahead of everybody and not bring tiebreakers into the mix, because they've lost a bunch of AFC games. They still have one at the end of the season against the Dolphins on the road, which won't be an easy game, because the Dolphins, I think, will be motivated to try and knock them out of the playoffs if they can. They really, in order to protect their standing, need to try to win the last 3. At the most, they could suffer 1 more loss and get in. So, you know, maybe they do have a little bit of wiggle room, but I think they really are looking at each game as one at a time. They have to win each game in order to make sure. I mean, now they've really kind of fought hard to get back to the point where they control their own destiny, and there's every likelihood that if they lose this game this weekend, they will no longer, based on tiebreakers, be in that position.
The Jets are 8-5 after winning the last 3 games. They hold the number 6 spot in the AFC playoffs. Bob Wischusen, the voice of the New York Jets, who calls the games for ESPN Radio in New York. Bob, thank you very much for joining us here in the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our postgame show presented by Rico.
We wanted to show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Vic gives to McCoy. First down and more. 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. McCoy in for the touchdown! A 49-yard touchdown run by Shady McCoy.
Hi, I'm LaShawn McCoy, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Pa, what shall we do with this bounty of ice cream from our Lancaster County Dairy?
Share with the neighbors.
I did, but you keep making more.
We use only the finest wholesome ingredients. It's too good not to share.
Let's take it to the market.
What shall we call our ice cream?
Gobble, gobble. And that's how Turkey Hill Dairy came to be. Imported from Lancaster County.
It's that time on the Friday edition of Eagles Live where Bo and I present the Inactives.
My favorite time of the year.
Certainly favorite time
of the week. You guys play along at home, of course. Do we have the jingle?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Time to get
an active guy. An active game time.
Rewind.
Let's see what we got. C-Mac?
Reverse. There we go. So, again, we talked about Brandon Graham earlier in the show. I think he remains on the inactive list. I think Darryl Tapp will be out for this game. So, I think Parker will go up because I think he's a little bit better against the run. Brandon Hughes, I think the Thornton one.
You called that last week. You were right about that.
No. Thornton, it's one of those roster moves that, you know, you get him on the roster. I'm not quite sure why would you promote him if you didn't.
So that nobody else poaches him from the practice squad. He's a guy they obviously like. They put him on their active roster originally. Yeah. I think that's the reason. Five defensive tackles.
But he's been on the practice squad all season long. Why teams maybe will start?
Shuffle
him for next season. It's a possibility.
I don't see any reason why there would be.
That's when I came up with it. I did the interview with him in the studio, and he kind of had this. And players won't really know. He kind of had the feeling like he doesn't think that they would have promoted him if they were not going to play him. I don't see a reason why you would play him, especially in as big a game as this right now. I kind of just went with that feeling there, and that's why I said Kafka would be inactive. You figure Vic's
the only
week
difference
healthier.
I have. If we look at it, I think I have Kafka up, the three quarterbacks up, and Thornton down.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if they do put Kafka down, I could see maybe Lloyd active getting a sixth linebacker in there for special teams, or maybe Winston. You want that extra offensive lineman up with Todd a little bit hampered by the ankle injury. That's the only thing I can see.
Yeah. I mean, Colin Jenkins has the groin injury, but he practiced fully yesterday. Or he's limited yesterday. Todd Harriman's was also limited as well. But
good to see Macklin practicing full.
Full go. It's important. Is he full go for a second straight day? Yeah. That's really the key because the one day he was full last week was Friday.
That's right.
Saturday was apparently he woke up sore and they had to change him on the injury report from probable to questionable. So, you know, am I in love with my inactives there? No, but when you get that new guy into the roster,
the beauty of the inactive game just messes with your head. You know,
it does.
It's about as intellectual a game as I can think of.
For all the 5 minutes that I spent on it, truly, truly, put myself into it, and we'll see. We'll battle. And we'll see who will come out on top there.
One of the interesting things that Bob Wischusen mentioned that we haven't talked about yet was the loss for the Jets of Jim Leonard, sort of the quarterback of their defense. Brodney Poole steps in to play alongside Eric Smith, and I wonder if that's an area where the Eagles can exploit them deep. Obviously, you know, I don't want to just give up a matchup to Darrell Revis. We say Revis will just take a guy out. That's not necessarily the case.
No.
I mean, I have a lot of faith in the Eagles receivers, but I do think there's an opportunity maybe to hit a deep ball here to Deshaun or Mackin, or maybe even, you know, up the seam to Brent Celek.
But the thing is, Brodney Poole is not a guy coming off the street who doesn't have starting experience.
Sure.
He was a starter for them last season, and the starter opposite of Poole now, Eric Smith, was the guy who came in because Leonard got injured late last season as well, missed the team's run to the playoffs. Eric Smith, who's now the star opposite Poole, was the guy who came in off the bench. And the first game that Leonard missed was Leonard got injured. It was in practice a couple days before the matchup with the Patriots, and Brady shredded them and then blew them out. But then all of a sudden they had a week of practice, got everything back on track. This happened, you know, during the game against the Chiefs, tore his patellar tendon. They've had a week to kind of work him back in there, so a solid veteran. Not quite sure if it's going to hurt them because obviously he makes the calls. He's known as the quarterback of the defense. But certainly I'm sure that Andy and Murray are looking for a way to exploit that matchup if at all possible. And I agree as well, just because Darrell Revis is there on the field doesn't mean you shy away from him completely. You're going to have to take your opportunities when they present themselves. You have to at least, I think, put a couple in his direction just to make him aware, look, just because you're a guy, to make some plays against you. So,
and there's also one other matchup in this game that pits the best team in the league against the best team in the league.
And what would that be, Bob?
That would be the Eagles' kickoff coverage against the Jets' kickoff return. You know, interesting to see those things go about. You know, the Eagles' kickoff coverage has been outstanding, superlative all season long, thanks in large part to Colt Anderson, who they no longer have. But the Jets, it was interesting listening to Bobby April yesterday talk about Jets' special teams coordinator Mike Westhoff, who you guys will know if you watched Hard Knocks. But apparently his return units have been great for years. And, you know, Joe McKnight's a guy who scares you a little bit, although he's a little loose with the football sometimes.
Yes.
So that could be an opportunity for the Eagles to make a play
See if that's a game changer.
Both return units, they're a little bit loose with the football because Jeremy Curley, who takes over for Jim Leonard, this is actually where another area where the Jets are impacted by the loss of Leonard. Jeremy Curley is now their punt returner, and he was benched on punt return duty because of his inability to secure the football on a consistent basis. So it'll be interesting to see if the Eagles can take advantage of that as well. I talked to Tom Nelson, the guy who took over for Cole Anderson in the special teams lineup, made his season debut, his Eagles debut against Miami, and he said that, like you pointed out, they noticed on tape McKnight a little bit careless with the football early in the season, but there's really not one set thing that they do that so well. It's guys buy into the system, and it's probably a lot with Bobby April's unit. It's you get a core group of players who are sound fundamentally, core group of guys who want to be out there on special teams, which a lot of times that's the battle when you're asking guys who have been stars at the collegiate level coming into the NFL and, you know, are now asked to be on the third phase. It's something that a lot of these guys maybe did not do while they were in college. And guys just dedicating themselves to the craft. And not every team, and it's funny when you talk to guys who've come, you know, to the Eagles from other teams who have spent, even if it's like a training camp or what have you with other squads, is other teams don't devote a lot of practice time to special teams. Bobby April even said he doesn't know how much the Jets spend on it. He just knows that Mike Westhoff is one of the better special teams coaches in the league. But the Eagles devote a significant amount of practice time. They have an exclusive special teams practice before their team practice even begins. And then they work into special teams in there as well. So it's definitely something that's very important. April's squad has been very good all season. Then last week, you have the block punt of Chaz Henry, where April took the responsibility for on that. And then here we're showing the Curtis Marsh fumble where there was a missed block and it wasn't Deshaun Jackson threw the ball, but it wasn't his job to scout to see, oh, are all the guys blocked? His job was if he can cleanly throw the football, you throw that ball to Marsh. Marsh has to do a better job of securing the ball once he gets it, but there was a guy that came in unblocked and it was the only guy who really could make the play. So it's one of those things where, a lot like LeSean McCoy, you have to balance being aggressive but also being smart. And if that play works, if that fake punt to Colt Anderson from Chaz Henry works, you know, earlier this season, those are some big gains. Those are great plays.
Would have won the Bears game.
But since they didn't work, then you're like, well, why did you do it?
Exactly. Taking your calls, 215-339-6709 before Andy Reid's press conference at 1 o'clock. We'll get the injury status. Sounds like reports from the practice fielder that Darryl Tapp is once again not practicing. Probably not going to play this week. Everybody else sounds like they're out there. So get in your calls before Andy Reid's press conference. For now, let's take a quick commercial break and back on the other side with your calls and Andy Reid.
Opportunity, opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day. Grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it. Snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
What's up, Eagles fans? This is Trevor Laws. I just want to wish you guys a happy holiday season.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why?
Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line.
Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Rico.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Hey,
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Feeling better. Feeling better. Ready to go. Ready to go play a good game of football.
Yeah.
What's the point of having you sit out yesterday?
You know, just to make sure that I'm feeling, closer and closer to 100%. You know, just trying to get better. Just taking my time with the whole process. It's just rough, just having the injury that I have. And sometimes it takes a long time to heal, but I feel like I'm getting better.
Is it still sore when you throw?
Yeah, it's a little sore when I throw it, but I can tolerate it. And like I said, each and every day I'm getting treatment and feeling better about it.
You talked about last week that you wanted to slide more.
I'm not asking questions about sliding today. We're not going to talk about that this week. It's better things to talk about than me sliding.
Took less hits last week than you were?
I felt like I did. I mean, after the game, I didn't really feel like I even played a full game of football. I mean, so I guess that's a credit to the offensive line and myself trying to protect myself. But, coaches did a good job of calling the game, and I was able to get the ball out of my hands. And, I felt pretty good afterwards.
Marty said today that trying to keep you healthy was going to be the death of him. do you understand what he's talking about there?
I mean, it's just my style of play. I mean, I take a lot of hits, and I get hit, but that don't affect me. I get up from it. I mean, when I was young, man, I played football in the backyard and got hit probably 6 million times, up until this point. And played, Pop Warner football. And so it's something that I'm accustomed to. Me getting knocked to the ground is like me taking walking, so it's nothing. I mean, I get up from
31
it.
Now.
So what? The older you get, the better you get.
There's still a pair of corners, Michael, as you guys see in combo this week.
Absolutely, great tandem. Guys do a great job in defending, and we really have to be precise in the passing game this week. It's going to be paramount. But that's the game. That's the fun part of it. It's always a challenge. It's never going to be easy, and we're looking forward to it.
For as much as Rob Ryan talked before that Dallas game, and you guys kind of essentially shut him up. For as much as Rex talks, do you in a sense want to kind of shut him up with the way you guys play on the field?
I got nothing but the utmost respect for Rex Ryan. So I wouldn't say anything to disrespect him. I respect him as a coach. You can just tell by the way, his players talk about him that his philosophies and his ways of coaching, what you look for, our standards. So I got nothing but the utmost respect for him. And I don't know what I'm going to get this weekend. So just got to look out.
Great stuff there from Michael Vick. It'll be very intriguing to see if he can bottle up what he was able to do in the second quarter, where the Eagles scored 24 points, now 17 off turnovers. Great job, of course, by the defense, but still, get that offensive production, spread it around to the rest of the quarters. Give it a little bit to the first, third, and the fourth, especially in the second half. I mean, you have to give all the kudos in the world to the defense for holding the Dolphins at bay, even coming up with the team's only points in the second half off the safety, but nonetheless, you have going against a very good Jets defense, one that confuses you with all those different looks, some talented playmakers, a rejuvenated Aaron Maben who leads the team in sacks, and Buffalo was doing whatever they could to get rid of him. You just hope that, a week back on the field, you shake the rust off, and now he can go out and try to get this offense back to the level that it should be performing at here down the stretch.
And I think you will probably see a big game from LeSean McCoy because he's been so good this season, it's hard to fathom him having two down games in a row. And, we say down game, he had two touchdowns. But I think that this offensive line wants to bounce back from last week and create some holes for Shady. And I think you'll probably see him have a big game.
I think it will help the fact that they played. You pointed this earlier in the show how the Eagles will play 3-4 defenses the rest of the way. The Dolphins and the Jets, different personnel, obviously, but they do a lot of the same things. They like to come up with those creative packages to confuse offenses. They really like to load up the blocks. They're very aggressive. I think the good thing is that well, you could take some of the things that you learned from last Sunday's game against Miami, especially the way that the offense performed in the second half, and apply it to this week's game against the New York Jets. Now, we have some great stuff here to promote this Sunday. Bill Berge, legendary linebacker, is going to be the honorary captain. He's going to be giving a salute at halftime of the game. We're going to have that for you live here on PhiladelphiaGhost.com. In fact, our game day coverage begins at 3:30 p.m. with the kickoff show. Bo and myself will be hosting that. We'll have the halftime report, and then we will also have the post-game show presented by Rico. So we will be live basically all afternoon here on PhiladelphiaGhost.com. It is also the Go Green game, and what that means for fans who are attending the contest is that if you make a purchase at the Eagles Pro Shop, you will receive a free reusable grocery bag courtesy of Acme, and there will be Eagle staffers looking to catch fans recycling, and there will be great prizes given away from autographed merchandise to even an Eagles jersey. So certainly some great stuff for those who are coming to the game this Sunday. And right after the show, about 1:15 p.m., Jason Kelsey is going to take over the Eagles Twitter account. If you have questions or comments for him, you can send them now to @Eagles and make sure you use the hashtag #KelseyTakeover. So Jason's a lot of fun on Twitter. He's been great with reporters. He's a guy who's very smart, has developed quite a bit in such a short time from being a sixth-round pick to being the anchor of the offensive line. It'll definitely be good to get some insight from him for all the Eagles fans. I think 150,000 followers.
That's
on Twitter,
right, yeah.
It's impressive.
Just under that, yeah. Let's go to the phone lines. We have Antonio from Virginia. Antonio, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Antonio?
Yo, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Yeah, man, I just want to touch on a few things that's been going on through the season, man.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody's been blaming Andy for the season that we have. But, you know, I want to blame Howie Rose.
What's the reason for that?
Yeah, you look back. There's some of the trades he made during the season, like the Daryl Taft trade for Chris Clemens. And you look what Chris Clemens doing to Seattle, and we have Daryl Taft on us.
Been a pretty good player.
Look at the draft he had, drafting Brandon Graham, who can't even get on the field.
Well, and you know, he tore his ACL.
He drafted a 26-year-old rookie.
Who's starting for you? So you don't want to give him credit for Colin Jenkins or bringing Nnamdi here or Cole Anderson?
But I just look at some of the moves he made. It just haven't worked for our team.
You know, everybody.
Give me a general manager in the league that's going to hit on every single roster move that they make. No one's going to hit on
Ted, all. Ted Thompson in Green Bay drafted Brian Brohm in the second round.
Yeah.
He was cut by a UFL team earlier this year.
You see Green Bay doing with their roster down there. I mean, how come Howie Roseman can't do the same thing with us?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Even the Packers have had plenty of misses with some of the moves they've made.
And yeah, I want to ask you one more thing.
Of course.
Hey, do you think Juan will be fired and do you think Steve Spagnuolo can come back to Philly?
Is Steve going to get, you know, well, first, I don't know what's going to happen with Juan. You know, obviously there's going to be a ton of speculation as the season finishes here. But is Steve Spagnuolo going to be fired in St. Louis? Who's to say he's out as a St. Louis coach? What if he gets another year to rebuild that team? So I don't think that's a set situation, per se. I know a lot of fans make the natural connection there. There's tons of rumors and innuendo and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's the time of year for it here. But until there's definitely, you know, a move made, I don't think that anything could be speculated in that instance. Everyone wants to make the natural connection because he obviously coached here. He cut his teeth here in Philadelphia. You know, he's been a great success, led the Giants to their Super Bowl by revamping that defense. But I don't think it's necessarily a slam dunk. I think Eagles fans obviously are hoping to see something happen with that situation in St. Louis, but I don't think it's necessarily a slam dunk there. It's going to be a lot very similar to here in Philadelphia. What happens in the last couple of weeks of the season? St. Louis has nothing to play for, but obviously they're going to want to be seeing some improvement out of that team. They've had a lot of tough breaks this year. You know, their franchise quarterback regressed. The defense hasn't played all that well, so obviously we got to see them in the first week of the season, but back then everyone was talking about them as a possible contender in the NFC West. A lot of people, I think, would have told you that they were probably the favorites in the division going into the season because of how good Sam Bradford had played. He has not played up to the level that he played as a rookie. He has not been very good this season, and he's battled injury on top of it.
I appreciate you taking my call.
No problem. What's your prediction for the game?
I think we're going to win 37-10.
I certainly hope so. Antonio, thank you for the call. We certainly appreciate it. Definitely chime in down the road, okay?
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Antonio. You know, that's not every move has worked out. You know, a lot of people are talking about the Steve Smith acquisition and what happened with that. That definitely is something that didn't work out. But again, you remember what was going on with Jerry Maclin,
right,
and the scary situation.
It was before Jeremy Maclin had been cleared.
You know, that was a very scary situation going on with Jeremy. You didn't know what you were going to have from him during the course of the season. You know, I don't know if it was a bona fide insurance policy because of the fact that you just wanted to add another playmaker, and we saw what Steve Smith was a couple years ago in New York. You were hoping he could get back to that level. He's working his way back there. He's coming off the knee injury, very similar to what Brandon Graham is going through right now. And obviously we mentioned this earlier in the show, Bo, how Brandon hears about all the comparisons to Pierre Paul from the Giants, who has 12.5 sacks in a season. If you were to talk to Giants scouts, I would kind of wonder if they had wanted Brandon Graham, because Pierre Paul was selected just two spots after Graham. You wonder if they had their eyes on Graham themselves and would have pounced on him if the Eagles didn't take him. And there were also a lot of people saying that Pierre Paul was going to take years to develop.
Right.
He was this raw, athletic pass rush specialist at South Florida, if I'm correct. You know,
and he had only had one good year in college.
You know, but you saw the YouTube clips of him doing all the flips back and forth. You know, an athletic freak, but would that translate into being able to produce on the football field? That doesn't always happen, and it doesn't always happen as quickly as it has happened, unfortunately, for Pierre Paul.
All right, back to the phone lines. As we wait for Andy Reid, we have Gary in Florida.
What's hey, how
on?
Are you?
What's
how
up,
you doing,
Gary?
Hey, just loving to talk to you guys. You know, remember that play where Vic threw across the field and Shady was over there and he ran, what, about 20, 25 yards?
Yes.
Yep.
Great misdirection play.
They don't put Shady wide out very often. I don't think I've seen him there too many times this year.
No, that's the one difference between he and Brian Westbrook, because there's all the comparisons between McCoy and Westbrook. The one thing that McCoy does not do is line up as a receiver. You infrequently see it. One reason to me is he's such a good
when he gets the ball so
running
much,
back.
As a running back, yeah.
Yeah,
that was a way that they could get Brian Westbrook the ball in space, and I think that Shady sort of creates those opportunities for himself. Certainly, he's capable.
Oh, we lost.
Well, we lost the G-man.
All right. Well, Scary, if you want to chime in,
we're
going to
have Andy Reid very shortly.
It looks like it's going to happen pretty shortly here. What are you looking to hear from the coach? Really, no major injury situations here. Dow Tap obviously is the one we're going to keep an eye on. It'll be interesting to see if he's even.
I would be
questionable.
Yeah. He's probably going to be out.
He'll probably be doubtful, if not out, for the game.
Maclin, I want to see if he was a full participant today, as you mentioned, see how he responded after practice yesterday. You know, Michael Vick, did he, as Andy Reid likes to say, did he get the torque there? Was he slinging it around? And other than that, I don't know what else really to find out from the big man.
No, I don't know if you're going to have any more. You had the Rex-Andy comparisons back on Wednesday.
Two very handsome men.
Of course. You know, it is very, very interesting about how both, you know, Rex and Andy and how they portray themselves in the media. But, and a lot of people take it as that Andy is very quiet behind the scenes with the team. But that's not the case. And players will tell you that Andy will get on guys. The thing is that Andy's MO from day one has been that he wants to protect the players. He'll rip them in meetings. He'll do what he needs to do to get his message across to the players. But to the media, he wants to protect the players, and the players will respect him for that.
Right, because how you engender the trust of your players.
Yeah, they don't want to get trashed in the media. They don't want all the people writing and blogging and tweeting to be, you know, adding on to the fuel that a lot of these players already get. You know, out there in the media world, they're already getting ripped by everyone else. They don't need the head coach, you know, basically giving them all an excuse to do so. So that's been his MO, and he's come across, of course, not as, you know, exciting to the media as Rex Ryan is with all of his hyperbole, because Andy Reid doesn't need to hype up his squad, you know, in the media. He knows how good a team he has. He wants them to go out there and basically show it with their actions on the field on game day instead of just talking about it in the media. One of the maybe the frustrating things from the players this season is too many times we've heard we're better than the other team. And yeah. I think the players have bought into that a lot more maybe this year than in previous years. You hear it after games. Yeah, we lost a game, but we were the better team. We just didn't get it done on the field. You got to get it done on the field. That's where you got to be able to be the better team. I don't care if, you know, you have this, you know, all-star roster and all these great players. It's great, but it's got to translate over to the field. And that's why it's very intriguing to see how the team, how I think this group of individuals, of these very talented individuals, has finally seemed to gel into a team. The big question is, are we going to see it consistently over these last few games of the season?
All right, Jerome, you got a couple seconds here to get in your prediction before Andy Reid gets to the podium.
My prediction, I'd say 24-17.
24-17?
24-17.
All right. And what do you got for us, Jerome?
Well, I was wondering, what's the deal with Greg Lloyd Jr.? Is he going to play any this year, or is he still in?
He is active. He is the sixth linebacker. He hasn't been active for a game yet. We'll find out whether he is on Sunday. He could play special teams. But for now, we go to the big man, Andy Reid, at the podium.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right, injuries here. Really, Darrell Tapp is the only one that did not practice, and he's listed as doubtful with a rib fracture. So everybody else practiced full and did everything and looked pretty good doing it. And we look forward to the opportunity of playing the Jets and bringing them into Lincoln Financial Field. With our fans, and you know, our fans will be out there greeting them the way they greet them. So our players have had a good week of practice and preparation, and again, like I said, they look forward to the challenge of playing a good football team. Time's yours.
Andy, have you changed anything or sent a specific message to the team in regards to home games just because, you know, the record hasn't been all that great?
Preparation and then go play.
Is that 1-5 at home and 1-8 in your last 9 home games?
I'm not disappointed right now. I'm ready to go. You know, ready just you get to this point in the week, you're ready to play the team that's coming in here, and it's the Jets this week, and so it's all positive and going forward here.
How much do you want to get a win at home for these fans that cheer for you guys week in and week out?
Well, listen, I told you this when we were down in Miami, and some of you guys were there, but when we were in Miami, the fans were tremendous. I mean, the number of fans was astronomical. I think we outnumbered the Dolphin fans. So we appreciate the support, and we're busting our tail to make sure we represent the fans and the city in the right way. So the guys have had, like I said, they've had a good week of preparation to make sure we can come out and play well.
I've seen him suggest the other day that maybe he's going to be shut down for the season. Is that the case? And if
no.
And if not, will he? There's a chance that he'll be called up and play.
Well, we'll just
Sunday.
See. We'll see how things go. You know, in the next couple of days. But he's had a good week of practice, and that's the way he's handled it.
He was kind of like speaking out of order, or just assuming that he was being shut down.
I'm not sure exactly what he said. But he's still, I mean, you know, he's still alive and going, I hear. I mean, he's practicing and getting himself ready to play.
Has the energy at the link, has it not been there now as it has in the past, in past years? From the
No,
fans?
Not at all. No, not at all. It's been fine.
Andy, what do you see from the Jets' offense in the red zone? They're obviously very good, number one in the league.
They are very good. They, as far as coverage goes, it's not necessarily different than what other people do. They tighten things up in there. They trust that in line as being the 12th man and challenge you. So they play very physical down there.
versus height is, you know, obviously he's a tall guy, a big target. Is that, I mean, I think all but one of his touchdowns are in the red zone. Is it?
I thought you were done with the defense. The offensive side is, Burris obviously is a big part of their look. So is their tight end. And, they've got enough people. I'm slighting the running back here on top of that. I mean, he's a big factor in that too.
When Mike Vick, you know, he's still sore and stuff with the ribs. With that said, does everyone else around him on offense need just to be a little bit sharper when he's still a little bit sore?
Yeah, listen, that's a tough question because everybody should be as sharp as they can be no matter what. So, I would tell you. You'd expect that, from a coaching standpoint and a player standpoint, you expect that every week out of yourself. And it doesn't matter if somebody's hurt or not hurt.
Getting as many reps as he can get, especially after missing 3 weeks. You probably took him not practicing Wednesday. You took it seriously, obviously, with the ribs. Is that going to hinder him at all? I mean, the fact that he didn't practice on Wednesday?
I don't think so. He caught up on the new plays that we have in, and that's the important thing. You get to this time of the year, there are certain plays that you run every week, you know, that you've got in the game plan that he knows, and then you had a handful, and he worked those and got familiar with them. So I think it'll be all right, I mean, to answer your question.
You have a situation with the Giants and Cowboys both playing before you play. If they both win, will you have to say anything to the team to make sure people are – you know, not downcast about not winning the division?
No, listen, I think I mentioned this on Monday, I guess it was, and Wednesday, that everything is about the Jets right now, and you can't worry about anything else. You focus in on your preparation for the Jets, and then you go play.